today on It's Time.
God doesn't waste, and he doesn't waste the experiences of your life because he loves you. And when he brings you through things, it is for a reason.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
We're just passing through. Do you realize today may be the last day you're ever on this earth? That's why I really believe, friends, we've got to reprioritize our purpose. Because again, we get so upset over things that you may not even be here tomorrow to worry about. You say, but what if I am? Well, even if you are, it ain't worth the grief that you spend on it today. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven, if you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I got some bad news for you. You're going to spend a long time in a place you don't want to be. But you can fix that today. You don't have to stay on the road you're on. That's good news. So he says, my pilgrimage, 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. Yep, he's not being cynical here. He's simply telling the truth. They've been hard. Friends, life is hard. And if you don't have God in your life to help you through this world, it's a long, empty road, man. And that's why we're so vulnerable, because life is hard, and we all need someone to lean on. Yeah, we do. But who you're leaning on is going to make a big difference in the way you live your life. Because if you're leaning on the philosophy of the world, on the highway to hell, you're going to find yourself not getting better, but you're going to find yourself getting worse. The Bible tells us evil company corrupts good manners. And so that's why I believe, again, as we're sojourners, we need one another. Jesus said, you are my body, speaking of those that are believers in Christ. You need each other. We need each other. That's why we like to have dinners after church. So you fellowship and you meet new people and you make acquaintances and sometimes lifelong friends. I have lifelong friends that I met when I was in high school. They are still my friends to this day. Thank God for that. You need that. But you know, people of the world will take advantage of you because they don't see life like you do. He says this. He said, so I have not attained to the days and the years the life of my fathers in their days, in their pilgrimage. Again, he recognizes that Abraham, Isaac, also, we see that they lived a lot longer than Joseph did. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. 11. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them possession in the land of Egypt, the best land in the land of Ramses the Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph provided his father, his brothers, his father's household, bread according to the number of their families. Now there was no bread in the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. This was one gnarly drought. And one bad famine. It was actually a world changer. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, in the land and in the land of Canaan, for the grain which they bought, And Joseph brought the money to Pharaoh's house. And so it was when the money failed in the land of Egypt. And friends, by the way, money can fail. I think this is important. Again, the Bible's written, the book of Jude says, these things are written for our examples. So if you say, well, I've got my 401k or I've got my gold underneath my bed, you know, well, that's good if there's something to buy. But if there's nothing to buy, it ain't going to do you any good. You better hope, better be in Jesus, not in anything else. And so when the money failed, isn't this a weird verse? Money fails. Can money fail? Yes, it does and did. Now, by the way, for you Bible prophecy people, the Bible says that there's going to be a one world order that's getting ready. I believe we're seeing the premonitions of it right now. We're seeing the diminishing of the United States. We're on the road to making America stupid again. And I hate to say it, but have you noticed gas prices? They go up about 10 cents a week now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because you see, we're diminishing America. And what's happening is there's going to be a one world order. And here's the other part of it, a one world currency. I don't know if it's going to be Bitcoin or something altogether different, but we all can see the end of the dollar looming in the horizon. Either hyperinflation will take it out, or the printing presses are running with nothing to back it up. It's called fiat money. There's nothing to back it up. It's just a printing press printing paper. Well, eventually, people around the world that own our debt are going to say, we don't want it. Your dollar, here it is, fails. And now we become debtors to the world. Well, notice what happened when the money fails. Now, he says here, there was no bread in the land. The famine was severe. So the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan languished because of it. Now, he says again, he gathered up all the money. Verse 15, so when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians. Now notice, it isn't just the Jews now. Now it's the Egyptians in the land of Egypt coming to Joseph. It says that the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed. And Joseph said, then give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock when your money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for their horses and their flocks and the cattle and their herds and their donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for all the livestock that year. And when that year had ended, oh yeah, but the famine's not over yet, friends, they came to him the next year and said to him, we cannot hide from my Lord that our money is gone. And the Lord also now has, my Lord has our herds, our livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and in our land we will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. So Joseph bought the land for Egypt, for Pharaoh. Every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe upon them, and the land became Pharaoh's. And the people, he had moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had their rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate the rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I bought you their land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh, Four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the field, for your food, for your households, and for your little ones. So he said basically this. He said, look, okay, you're selling me your land, but I'm going to let you sharecrop it. You're going to go back and you're going to till the land. But one-fifth of everything you grow now belongs to Pharaoh. Four-fifths you keep for yourself. And it shall come to pass in harvest that you shall give one-fifth or 20% literally of your yearly income to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own. And so they said, you have saved our lives. Let us find favor in your sight, my Lord. We will be Pharaoh's servant. And Joseph made a law over the land of Egypt to this day. That means to the day of the writing when Moses recorded these things, that Pharaoh should have one-fifth except the land of the priests, which did not become Pharaoh's. So men, you realize heavy taxation because of this. This famine, this crisis was a world changer. Now remember, friends, what was it Rahm Emanuel said in the previous administration, or Obama said, never let a crisis go to waste? Here is a good illustration of that. They used the crisis to manipulate the circumstance. Now Pharaoh owns just about everything. Now taxes are an issue. Here you find taxes. By the way, a lot of people don't know this. You ever heard of the Boston Tea Party? Where they threw all the tea in the harbor because they didn't want to pay the high taxes on the tea coming in. Do you know how much the tax rate was on that tea? 14%. What? That's hardly sales tax in some states anymore. That's right. Our forefathers revolted at 14% taxes. What do you think your taxes are now when you add in property tax and income tax and Social Security tax and automobile tax and sunlight tax and air tax and everything else? Our forefathers objected to 14%. Our tax rate, they say today, if you add in all the taxes, is somewhere between 45 and 49%. And most all governments fail when it goes over 50%. In other words, where the government is taking half of what you do. Something to think about. Learn from the past. So Israel, verse 27, dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew exceedingly. Now, again, 400 years later, there are 2 million people. You stop to think about these numbers of how big this was. And you think about the land of Egypt and how they were able to sustain that many people with food and everything like that. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. So he actually lived in Egypt for that length of time. Now remember, going back, God had spoke to Abraham when they did the sacrifice thing. If we go back, I think it was chapter 15 in Genesis. And there was a covenant that God made with Abraham. And he said, you're going to sojourn in the land of Egypt for 400 years. He already told him that this was what was going to happen. And so it says here, when the time drew near that Israel or Jacob must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh. Deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt. I think this is funny. He goes to his son and he said, look, I'm here, but my heart's not here. You take me back to the land of Canaan when you guys leave here. Because, you see, he believed the promises of God. He knew what God had spoken to his great-grandfather, Abraham, saying, you're going to sojourn here for 400 years. But when it comes time to leave, and you will leave and go back to the land of Canaan, Jacob said, don't leave me here. I want to go back to where my wife was buried. I want to go back to my homeland. And so it's interesting, as we will read up, when the children of Israel do eventually leave Egypt, You got all these people leaving, and you got the sarcophagus of Jacob with them going back to the land, the promised land. Now he says, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have said. And then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself at the head of the bed. Now, you look at this story. A lot here. First of all, don't look at your life as an example right now. If you're going through some hard times, listen. God does these things for a reason. I look back at my life. I'm not real old. I'm 68. But I look back at my life and I think about some things. Why did I have to go through that particular trial years ago? But I found that that trial prepared me, taught me what I was going to need to know in the days to come. Now, no lesson oftentimes is welcomed when we have to learn it. But friends, if we learn it, it will go into you and it will help you in the days to come. One of the things that we get when we study God's word is this. God doesn't waste. And he doesn't waste the experiences of your life because he loves you. And when he brings you through things, it is for a reason. Now remember, you might say, well, how is it going to benefit me? It may not. It may be for others because it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. Remember, the hard experiences that you go through may be to minister to other people down the road. The Bible says we comfort one another with the comfort that we've received from God. This is called empathy. There's a big difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy says, I know what you're feeling because I have felt the same thing. Sympathy says, too bad to be you. I'm so sorry for you. Can't relate, but I feel bad for you. That's sympathy. Empathy says, I know what you're feeling. Been there, felt it. And you can comfort somebody with the same comfort that you got from God to them. You see, one of the things we have to realize when we come to Christ, it's no longer about me. It's about God. Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's about God now and his kingdom. Do you realize God loves the people of this earth so much that he sent his only begotten son? Whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He loves these people, but the message to get to them is brought through you and me. Wow. You mean I actually have a purpose for my life other than to just occupy space? Yeah, that's what it's about. And why is that? Well, because for some reason, it was through man that man fell, Adam. It was through a man named Jesus that reversed what Adam did. And it's through man that God communicates to people of this world the message of the gospel. That's what we're here for. That's why we're not all gone. When we pray and accept Christ, boom, we're gone. No, we're still here. We're here for a reason. And what's that reason? To be light, to be salt in this world that doesn't know him. This morning, I first of all want to encourage all of you that are Christians. Don't look at the snapshot of your life today and think this is all there is. God's got a bigger plan. Just as we read back, and God was with Joseph. Yeah, he was in prison. He was falsely accused. He was carried away to a foreign land. People he didn't even know. Everybody believed he was dead, rejected by his own brothers. But God was with Joseph. Yeah, right. No, he is. You can put your own line of trials right in there, and God is with you. You say, but I messed up. I caused some of these problems in my life because I took a stride from the master's side and got caught or got beat up or whatever. Listen, God is bigger than the things that you've done wrong. And if he isn't bigger than the things you have done wrong, we don't have a very big God, do we? But God is bigger. Let him bless you. That's the first thing. Because you need to settle that in your heart. God's not done with you yet. But Mike, you don't understand the problems I've got. Oh, let me tell you. I got problems too. Just like you do. Put my shoes on just like you do. have the same thoughts just like you do. You don't think Peter did in the Bible? You don't think the rest of them did? Do you realize what Paul said, who wrote a third of the New Testament? As sinners, I am chief. I am chief. What does that mean? He goes, man, if I'm not out doing something bad, at least I have the capability of thinking it. That's why the Bible says we bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ. Because if we act upon our thoughts, we'll fulfill the wrong desires that'll take us away from God. So letting God be God, that's the first thing. Number two, you're a child of the King, live like it. Remember who you are. Don't let the devil discourage you, because you are a child of the King. You bring life wherever you go. The kingdom of God reigns where you go. I like that. There's a little bit of heaven that you bring everywhere you go. This morning, I just want you to remember that you're an ambassador of the Most High. That's so important. God's with you. But Mike, you don't understand. I got these problems. Yeah, Joseph had them too. And God was with Joseph and gave him favor. God will give you favor as well. But Mike, you don't understand. I just lost my job. Hey, God's going to give you a better job. I want to encourage you to look for it. But know this, God does not dial wrong numbers. I get so tired of wrong numbers. Do you get those? Hi, this is Phil from insurance on your car. Do you know your car warranty? No, I don't want any of that. Have you had that? God don't dial wrong numbers. He loves you. Third, if you're not a Christian here this morning, get off the road to hell. Just get off it. It ain't doing you any good. It ain't making you any younger. I want to encourage you to get off that road. You say, how do I get off the road? The Bible says, repent. Lord, I'm sorry I've been on the wrong road. Put me on the right road in Jesus' name. The Bible says we pass from death unto life. Hey, that's a whole new life. And I'd rather be on the straight and narrow road to heaven than the widest paved road to hell there is. Because you see, the friends, we're just passing through. And either you're laying up for yourself reward in heaven or punishment in hell. And it's real. Why did Jesus give up all the worship of heaven to come down to be born in a dirty manger, to be rejected of men, have his beard pulled out, crucified to a cross, spit on, laughed at, ridiculed? Evidently, hell must be a really, really bad place to try to save all of us from it if we'll just accept what he did. The Bible says, repent. How do we repent? Sorry, Lord. You know, I'm sorry. Now, you'll find in your life, even as a believer, if you're coming out of the world, there's sins that you like. We just do. Maybe you're a Christian and you find there's some sins that you like. Let me just tell you about this. God will change your heart towards that sin. In other words, you'll start hating that sin the way God does. Why? Because you'll see that sin for what it is. It takes you away from God's best. And God loves you too much to share you with the world. So we're going to pray right now. And you can ask God to forgive you, change your direction, the rest of your life here on this earth, and lay up for yourself heavenly treasure. That's where it needs to be. You can pray and ask God to come in your life. Because when things around us fail, your money fails, your job fails, whatever failure might be out there, you got a God that remains stable. The whole world was under a famine. And yet, because of Jacob's faithfulness, the children of Israel had plenty. God has a way of providing in a world without for those that love him. He will take care of you. You see, that's why when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And the most important part of that prayer is this: our Father, Daddy. That's a relationship, not religion. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to have a relationship with you, like a father, a loving father towards his child. This morning, if you need to pray and get right with God, let's pray. And you can let God heal you of those things. So the first thing we need to do is get right with God. So we're going to pray right now. And you can turn your life over to Christ. That's what we're doing. So let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. I am sorry for the foolish way that I have lived. So change me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood covered my sins. And so from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I'll have the power to love you more and to love people around me more, God. And thank you for writing my name in your book of life that I spend eternity with you. And so now use me. May you bless me and keep me all the days of my life in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.